He was 75. The Senate has voted to eliminate federal taxes on tips, a Trump campaign pledge.
Democrat Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada brought the bill to the floor with the expectation that it would be blocked, but Texas Republican Ted Cruz declined to. It passed via unanimous consent. Cruz noted in his floor remarks in support of Rosen's unanimous consent request that Nevada's senators relayed that roughly 25% of Nevada's workers rely on tips. Rosen said that the Silver State has more tipped workers per capita than any other. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Five down, five to go. Five of the 10 inmates who broke out of a New Orleans jail last Friday have been recaptured. A jail maintenance worker is accused of helping them escape. On Wall Street, the Dow down 367 points, the Nasdaq 5 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mike Gallagher here, host of The Mike Gallagher Show. If you know me, you know I only put my name behind people and companies I trust. When it comes to mortgages, I trust Mike and Brian at Fellowship Home Loans. They're not just friends. They've done loans for me, my family. I've seen firsthand how they treat every client like their family. And these days, that personal touch really matters. With the cost of everything up, you might be looking for ways to free up cash. Maybe you're thinking about a cash-out refi or HELOC to finish some home projects, consolidate debt, or just get ahead financially. Fellowship is a full-service, direct lender. Not a broker. They cut out the middleman. That means faster decisions, fewer fees, and less stress. Whether you're buying your first home, downsizing, or refinancing to get some breathing room, they'll tailor fit the loan to your life. Get started at fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG. fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, equal housing lender, NMLS number 819382.
Good morning. Good morning, it's 11:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. The Independent Investigations Division of the Maryland Attorney General's Office has released the names of the parties involved in a deadly police-involved shooting in Dundalk. Baltimore County Police Officer Michael Brady shot 43-year-old Glenn Petty Jr. on Sunday evening in the 8200 block of North Boundary Road. According to the preliminary investigation, officers responded to a report of an armed man experiencing a mental health episode, and the four-year veteran officer shot Petty during an exchange of gunfire. Baltimore County Police arrested a group of juveniles in the Parkville area at Perrine Parkway and McLean Boulevard. This came after they observed a stolen vehicle that crashed into the 5700 block of Perrine Parkway. The suspects tried to flee the scene and ran into the woods before being caught. Sports and the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
Rapid Radios are instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. A great alternative to a mobile phone for your kids. For a limited time, go to rapidradios.com now for 60% off and free UPS shipping. Add code radio and get an extra 5% off.
Get ready for an unforgettable evening at the Oatwire Wine Night, Thursday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. Sip, swirl, and savor your way through an elegant night of fine wines, delicious hors d'oeuvres, and great company. All at the Hayfields Country Club in Hunt Valley. Tickets are just $125 and include tastings, food, and access to a first-class wine experience, all to support the Oatwire Retreat Center. But don't wait. This exclusive event will sell out fast. Visit OatwireFoundation.org to get your tickets now.
The Orioles lost their eighth game in a row. Baltimore fell to the Brewers 5-2, clinching a series loss. The Orioles outfit Milwaukee 8-7. But went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Jackson Holliday and Ramon Urias each picked up an RBI in the setback. Chase McDermott got the loss after allowing 3 runs in 4 2/3 innings of relief. Up the road, the Nationals opened their series against the Braves with a 5-3 win. Washington had 4 players drive in a run, including Dylan Cruz, who hit the go-ahead homer in the second inning. Mitchell Parker earned the win on the mound, allowing 3 runs in 5 1/3 innings of work. The teams will continue their series tonight. Coming up, the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
When it's hot in Maryland, I've got one name I trust, Farnan and Dermer, the comfort guys. These folks have been keeping homes cool since 1902. That's 5 generations of family-run service that you can count on. Need same-day AC repair or a full system replacement? They've got you covered with 0% financing for 60 months and rebates up to $7,000 off select systems. And hey, Tell them Gary told you to call. It might just help. Just $99 for an AC tune-up with a no-breakdown guarantee. Call 410-367-7777 or visit acbaltimore.com.
At 11:06, here's the Fox 45 Weather Authority forecast.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are looking at a washout of a day ahead of us. Plan on rain pretty much all day with cool temperatures too. Cool and breezy with highs close to 60. Some showers will continue tonight with temperatures falling back into the mid-50s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
At 11:06, it's 54 in Bel Air, 56 in Halethorpe, 55 in Columbia. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed.
Everybody, listen carefully.
Download the WCBM 680 mobile app at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. That's right. You're right in the middle of the week here. Hopefully you've had a productive week thus far. If you're just joining us, I have to ask you, as I always do, where the heck have you been? We're talking about juvenile crime. Of course, State's Attorney Ivan Bates, who we had on Monday, he had a big town hall yesterday at Huber Memorial Baptist Church with Pastor P.M. Smith and Councilman Mark Conway. Sounds like it was a success. Lots of people got to weigh in. And we were talking about the juveniles and how they are just running loose. But one of the solutions I think we all came up with was the fact that the diversion program should be run by the state's attorney's office, not the mayor's office. Because obviously these prosecutors need to be kept in the loop and they need to understand who's a repeat violent offender and who needs to spend time behind bars. And so if you miss any of the show, please go back to WCBM.com or Apple Podcasts, tune in. The shows are always archived right after the show and you can listen to the show there. I'm very excited because I have a guest this hour. And I haven't spoke to him personally, but we went back and forth in the DM section of X. And I really do appreciate him responding because we don't usually see that with candidates. So I would like to welcome and say good morning to our guest, Andy Ellis. He is the gubernatorial candidate so far that has thrown his hat in the ring in the Green Party. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. I'm great. Thank you for having me on.
No, absolutely. And we actually had a texter say before the break that they commend you actually responding and coming on the show, even though we might not agree on some things. I want the voters to hear your platform, and I want the voters to be able to decide who the next governor here in the state shall be. Real quick, Andy, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you. I agree with that. You know, I was a debate coach for a long time at Towson University, Baltimore City, and across the nation. And so I appreciate the value of having good debate. And I think that's one of the things that is most missing from a lot of our politics, but especially here in Maryland, where the Democrats in Annapolis run everything from city or run everything in Annapolis, run everything in City Hall. Oftentimes we don't have a chance to disagree productively and find out where we do agree. So, yeah. I'm running as a Green Party candidate. I'm seeking the nomination. I've been a Green for about 10 years. I grew up in Maryland. I went to Towson. I went to St. Mary's, and I'm excited to have this opportunity to run and to talk to folks about it.
Nice, nice. Well, Andy, you know, some people might not know exactly what the Green Party stands for or the major issues. If you could just let the audience know, as far as the Green Party, what are the main issues that you guys have on a nation level? Or it doesn't even have to be nationwide, but also state.
Yeah, sure. So Green Party has been on the ballot in Maryland for 25 years. Which is a pretty astounding feat for small parties in the United States. And we believe, first of all, that money and politics and the control of the two-party system benefits everybody but the people. It benefits corporations. It benefits the wealthy. And we want to return power to the people. So we believe in peace. We believe in justice. We believe in environmentalism and ecology. And we believe in grassroots democracy where people have the power, not donors and big party bosses.
Well, you know what? I would think that most Republicans, I would say almost all, especially Libertarians, I believe would agree with you on that because that is a big issue. And I think it is the driving force behind so many of the policy decisions. And unfortunately, it's not in the best interest of we the people, but, you know, those that have those special interests. I guess I'll ask you, if you're just joining us again, we're speaking to Andy Ellis. He is the Green Party candidate right now in the gubernatorial race here in Maryland. Andy, what is on the top of your list? What is your priority if you were to win this race?
Yeah, so I mean, if I win the race, the first thing that I'm going to do is demand that the General Assembly pass a constitutional amendment which allows popular initiative here in Maryland. Right now, everything has to go through the Democratic-controlled General Assembly. They've controlled the General Assembly almost every year since 1866, and they make sure that they dictate what people get to vote on. So I would say to the Democratic General Assembly, pass a constitutional amendment that allows the voters to decide whether they have citizen initiative here in Maryland. And if you don't, I'll veto the rest of the stuff that you passed this year. But if you do, we'll work out how governance works. That would be my top issue. There's obviously some specific issues and specific policies that we have underneath that, but I think the most important thing is to figure out how to return power to the people and take it away from, you know, the parties, the donors, and the gatekeepers that patrol who has access to power in Maryland.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Of course, Andy, and I don't know how much you are dialed into every single issue across the state. I know you also have a day job, which is, tough. It probably is very tough to do both. Yeah. Right now, juvenile crime is through the roof. And we have state's attorneys, we have prosecutors, we have so many people on both sides of the aisle that are complaining about the way that these juveniles are behaving. And then also, there doesn't seem to be much accountability. When it comes to Department of Juvenile Services, Vincent Schiraldi is the secretary. A lot of people were asking for him to resign, but I wanted to get your thoughts on whether or not we should have someone else run a DJS, and also which changes do you see that we could take immediately?
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not gonna say whether I would fire him or not, but probably he wouldn't be working in my administration if I'm elected. That being said, what I think we need to understand with juvenile crime is that while we are simultaneously trying to deal with the most evident examples of crime that are really bad, you know, when there's murders and assaults and things like that, we need to deal with that. But we also need to be investing in the kind of programs to keep kids out of getting in that trouble in the first place and help them to be able to have rehabilitation and reconciliation within the community. You know, there used to be a time when rec centers, PALs, churches, community organizations, all of these things were able to take care of that. And as we've gotten rid of a lot of that stuff and shifted it to nonprofits run by foundations and universities, we've lost the accountability that the kids in community have. So while we are looking to make sure that the kids who commit the worst crimes are held accountable, we also need to be changing the conditions that allow the crime to occur in the first place and look back at the institutions that communities have had for a long time that have kept kids out of trouble and have kept them accountable when they get in trouble.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think anybody would disagree with you on that one, Andy. I mean, we've seen a lot of changes. I will say, and a lot of people have talked about the fact that, you know, when you're looking at violent crime, like non-fatal shootings or homicides, in some areas they're down, some areas they are up. But they obviously are trying to work on it. And I will say that I definitely see a difference in how we're handling some of the repeat violent offenders. But when it comes to juvenile repeat violent offenders, apparently we don't have a great handle on that. But I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. Kind of to go with that, Andy, it's probably most likely the education system itself. You see the test scores. I'm sure you saw what President Trump even mentioned our test scores. Are there things that we could do differently in the education system here in Maryland, in your view?
You know, I worked in Baltimore City Schools as a debate coach for a while. I was running the middle school program for the Baltimore Urban Debate League. And I think that what I learned in the process of that is that we have to have the kind of programs in schools that keep kids wanting to come to school, keep students engaged, and keep learning relationships that aren't just tied to whatever curriculum some level of government is passing down to students. And so, I'm a strong supporter of public school. I come from a family of teachers and educators, and I think that we need to maintain and invest in our public schools, but do so in a way that is giving kids the opportunity to learn not just what the curriculum dictates, but things that are interested in keeping them learning. So, you know, I support public school, but I also, Greens differ a little bit in this regard from other folks, I think, in that we really support homeschooling efforts. We don't think the dollars that go to homeschooling should be traded away from public schools, but if somebody has a good plan for being able to educate their children that doesn't require them to follow, you know, to either give their money to a private school or the public school system, we encourage that, and we think that the state should make incentives for people who want to do that and can demonstrate that it works for their kids.
Again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Andy Ellis. He's with the Green Party, and he's in the gubernatorial race here in the state of Maryland. Andy, I did not know that. I did not know the Green Party supports homeschooling. Delegate Mark Fisher out of Calvert County, he introduces school choice every session. How do you feel about school choice?
I don't like public dollars going to private institutions for the most part. I think that, I'm probably not going to be a fan of school choice in that regard, but I do think that we should incentivize, if folks want to do homeschooling, I guess I prefer homeschooling to private school. I guess I'll put it that way. And if public dollars are going to go somewhere else, I trust people in the community more than I trust, some of these religious institutions, which have not a great track record of taking care of kids.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. With that also, there are a lot of people that don't feel the teachers union has the kids in their best interest. This kind of goes a little bit with school choice. As far as the teachers union, do you believe, maybe you don't believe that they have too much power, but some people do. What is your philosophy on the teachers union?
I think many unions in this state spent too much time just negotiating benefits for their workers and not having a strident enough stance on protecting students and educators. And I think that if we had a longer tradition of unions that were doing that kind of work, contesting elections about values, about issues, and not about how effective they were at negotiating benefits with the bosses, that we would have had different educational outcomes at this point. So, I think that that type of thing increases debate, increases democracy, and increases the ability of teachers who are in that union to decide what they think is the best for students and teachers. So I support teachers' unions, but I think that they have to have politics, not just be there to negotiate benefits with the bosses.
Okay, so do you support the Blueprint / Kerwin Commission?
I mean, the Democrats are, I don't know that we're ever going to be able to have enough votes in my lifetime or before the Blueprint ends to overturn it. So I think the Blueprint is going to be here. I think Democrats have committed to it. And I support investing in public education. There's some aspects of it that I may agree with or disagree with, but I do support investing in it. What frustrates me about the Blueprint is when the Democrats passed it, they were told that they had to raise taxes in order to do it. And I think that should have been part of selling it to voters, was telling them what the price tag was going to be and let voters decide in an election if they're willing to pay that price tag for it, instead of nickeling and diming us with taxes and fees and things like that, like they've done. And now telling us that they have to, raise taxes in order for us to pay the bill, when they knew the whole time that they were going to have to raise taxes. So, I support public education. I support public dollars going to public education. And I support it being the biggest investment in the state budget. But I don't support not being honest about it when we make that investment and hiding the ball from people and telling them that they can get away with doing it without paying for the bill that they incurred.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Andy, of course, one of the big topics is, the budget, the fact that we just lost our AAA rating or AAA bond rating, I should say, in the state for the first time in 50 years. When you're looking at the budget, I mean, are you looking at cuts? Are you able to look and see, do you have that vision on how we can end up generating more revenue in the state? What are your feelings on the budget in general?
Yeah. So, I think that we have to do a combination of cuts and we have to do a combination of new revenue. Greens support progressive taxation on the wealthy and on corporations. And I also think that we encourage small businesses, especially Maryland-based businesses, to have the kind of incentives that allow them to grow and to pay employees. I think that we need to figure out how to reduce property taxes, because I think that that is a regressive tax that is subject to the evaluation of the state and of the local government, and I don't always think those evaluations are fair. I think the best form of tax is taxing income and taxing wealth. And I think that if we can decrease fees, if we can decrease user fees, if we can decrease service fees, if we can decrease hidden taxes, and if we can decrease property taxes and increase wealth taxes, I think that's the way to raise revenue. Now, there's a lot of cuts that I think need to be made, and I think that we need to look at program by program and understand in which cases we're giving money that is helping people directly or helping organizations with a proven track record of doing the work, and in which cases we're helping nonprofits and universities and things that foundations fund, which I think is where a lot of the money ends up going in ways that doesn't really get the result except getting, jobs program for for people who are related to it.
Yeah, well, I will agree with you there, Andy. Again, if you're just joining us, speaking to Andy Ellis, he is in the Green Party running for the governor's mansion, really, here in the state of Maryland. I agree with you, Andy. I think we do put a lot of money into nonprofits. We saw that especially in Baltimore City with the ARPA funds. On that, I think I heard there that you are for taxing the wealthy. What do you think is their fair share?
I don't know. I mean, I think we need to figure out what that number is, and I don't know that it starts at $500,000. You know, Governor Moore said that he and people like him needed to pay more, and that is starting at $500,000. I think that may have been useful 5 years ago when the budget folks told us that we were going to have to pay more money for the programs that were coming down the pike, but I don't know that we can do that now. And so I think we have to maybe lower that to $250,000 and maybe figure out, where the increases come. Look, I mean, I think this is one of the things that I'm going to be really focused on in the next year. And going into the next General Assembly session, I want to have a version of a budget that I think provides a different pathway of revenue, a different pathway of local business growth that isn't dependent on D.C. and isn't dependent on out-of-state corporations. And envision what Maryland looks like 10 years from now. So, you know, maybe when we get that detailed budget coming back, I'll come back and we can talk more about it. But I think, you know, for me, progressive taxation, decreasing the fees, decreasing what gets passed on to the counties, and being very clear and transparent about what the tax rate is going to be so the people choosing to live here or open businesses here know what they're going to pay and aren't attacked from all sides that are hidden from view by the current approach.
All right, Andy, and I got one more question for you, and then I would love for you to kind of just break down exactly where you stand and like your elevator pitch, I guess, before you go. Governor Wes Moore, he's in the news right now because he vetoed the Reparations Commission. Where do you stand on the Reparations Commission and, I guess, either reparations in general?
Yeah, sure. So Greens have had reparations in our platform for 25 years. So I was excited by the commission being on the table as part of this election because I wanted to ask Governor Moore and Governor Hogan, if he's the Republican or whoever else it was, what they were going to do when those recommendations hit their desk. I think that I understand that our approach is to offer repair to people who were damaged specifically as part of a class of people that were either enslaved, legally discriminated against, or victims of mass incarceration. I think the Democratic Party has an approach which is sort of based in affirmative action and poverty reduction, which, you know, is I think what they tout. And I think the Republican Party largely believes sort of decreased taxes, decreased burdens, colorblind approach that lifts all boats. I think there's a good debate to be had amongst those three things. So I was excited about the opportunity to have the commission be part of the debate in 2026. I'm pretty sure the reparations are now going to be part of the debate in 2026 based on Moore's veto of it. And I don't know that that was the outcome that he was looking for. But I look forward to having this position, offering what our party has had to say for 25 years, and to advocate that we should make cash-based reparation payments to the people who are descendants of those who were enslaved, victims of mass incarceration, and of other racist government policies like legalized discrimination. That may not be what others agree with, but that's our position, and I want to advance it. I want to advance it to all Marylanders.
Well, Andy Ellis, I appreciate you joining me today. Before you go, why should people vote for you?
You know, I think that we are in a situation in Maryland where Democrats are running everything in Annapolis and D.C., and Republicans are only really able to echo what is happening from Republicans in D.C. I'm sorry, Democrats run everything in Annapolis and Baltimore. Republicans are only able to echo what is happening in D.C. because they haven't been able to build the power here to actually implement their policies. So I think if we want to get out of that logjam and have something where we have more fruitful discussion that returns more power to the people and allows voters to actually have a say amongst different types of policies, we have to do so by breaking out of the two-party system, by electing somebody different, and by listening to a different set of ideas so that we can change the debate beyond what the two parties have sort of gotten stuck in.
Well, Andy Ellis, I really do appreciate you coming on the show today. I know people can follow you at GoGreen2026. I know that's your handle on X. It looks like your website is also GoGreen2026.com. Thank you again so much for joining me. I hope you have a great day.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store. And when you think of high-impact professionals in our community, who comes to mind? For me, nurses are right at the top of the list, given their care for my loved ones over the years. At the Good Feet Store, we often engage with nurses who are battling with pain in their feet, knees, and back, and they come to the Good Feet Store looking for relief. Here is Donna, a nurse sharing her story of what she experienced after visiting the Good Feet Store.
Oh, I have to tell you, I have struggled with pain in my feet. I was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. With the three-step program, it really fits to your lifestyle. I'm a registered nurse, so being on my feet, walking throughout the hospital during the day, I am free from any type of pain. And after working a 12-hour shift, I go home and my feet do not hurt.
Whether you're a nurse or anyone wanting to enjoy your career without your feet getting in the way, come see us at the Good Feet Store. The Good Feet Store is in Annapolis, Hunt Valley, White Marsh, and now open in Columbia. Visit goodfeet.com to book your appointment today or just stop by.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.real estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.real estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions. LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
Find out the truth and hear the stories other media won't cover. Listen here and tell your friends, family, and co-workers to turn on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, that was Andy Ellis. He's in the Green Party running for governor here in the state of Maryland. There are a lot of people already throwing their hats in the ring. As I noted, I was not going to go back and forth or debate him. I wanted to ask him as many questions as possible because we don't usually have a ton of time. But I want you guys to weigh in, 410-WCBO-680, 410-922-6680. Mark in Hampstead. Mark, how do you feel about Andy Ellis?
Hey, Kim, how are you doing today?
Good.
So I was actually hoping to get on with Andy, but you know, a couple of things he said struck me. You asked him about the teachers union, and you know, and rightfully he did bring up that it seemed like the teachers union is more interested in their own compensation and their own monetary situation. But you know what's more pernicious that he did not bring up is the fact that the teachers union has been pushing this ideology of lying to children and telling them that they're born in the wrong bodies. We've been, you know, that's been a political thing for the last couple of years now, and it's in the news a lot, and we talk about it. But I think the more pernicious thing that is pushed by the teachers union that we don't talk about nearly enough is teachers telling children that the most selfish thing they can do is grow up and have more children. And it's funny, he's from the Green Party, a party that started out as an environmental, strong ties to the environmental movement. And the environmental movement is the same movement that thinks there are too many people on the planet and not enough resources. These people go back like 120 years.
Yeah.
They are... You know, and it's very nice. He sounded like a nice guy, and it's nice that he came on your show and he's trying to reach across the aisle and create a dialogue. But at the end of the day, these are immoral people.
All right.
They are ultimately immoral people.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for weighing in. I got to go to break here. We'll talk about it when we get back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Could be a House vote later today on President Trump's massive budget bill. Members of the House Rules Committee worked overnight tweaking the legislation that has encountered some opposition from some Republicans. Mr. Trump did some arm twisting during a visit to Capitol Hill yesterday. The bill includes $25 billion in seed money for the president's Golden Dome missile defense system. Virginia Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly has died. He died at home this morning. He was 75 years old. An Orleans Parish, Louisiana jail worker is accused of helping 10 inmates escape last Friday. Five of the 10 fugitives have since been recaptured. Target sales tumbled in the first quarter, the discount retailer cutting its full-year sales outlook. The Dow down 322 points, and NASDAQ is up 66. More details at srnnews.com.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care in Maryland for over 35 years. Audiology Associates has grown to include 11 offices throughout Maryland, including the Eastern Shore, Annapolis, Baltimore City, and Baltimore County. The past 35 years have shown advancements in every scientific field, and this includes how we as audiologists treat patients with ringing in the ears, also known as tinnitus. 85 million Americans suffer from tinnitus, and it is the number one disability experienced by our returning soldiers. Tinnitus is a constant sound in the ears that no one else can hear, and it can occur as a wide range of sounds. However, it is now treatable. If you suffer from tinnitus, let one of our doctors evaluate you and develop a treatment plan. Call our main number, 410-944-3100, or visit our website at aaiaudiology.com to make an appointment. Your initial consultation is covered by almost all insurance plans, so call 410-944-3100 when silence is not golden.
Your Fox 45 forecast. We are looking at additional rain showers as we head throughout the rest of the day and this evening too. Otherwise, cloudy, breezy, and cool with temperatures in the upper 50s to near 60. Tonight, scattered showers will be ongoing and temperatures will fall back into the mid-50s. Cloudy with more on and off showers for your Thursday and highs remaining in the cool mid and upper 60s. From the Fox 45 Weather Authority, I'm meteorologist Amy Aronson for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
If you love Wendy's classic chocolate and vanilla Frosty flavors, they have some big news for you. They're announcing all new Frosty Swirl and Frosty Fusion flavors. So it's the same creamy treat you've always loved, now with a flavor refresh. A refresh on a classic? Gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Do you need a new roof? Call Badger at 443-NEW-ROOF. At Badger Contracting, we inspect your roof, give you a free estimate, and work to improve and protect your home. We are a trusted local company that's worked on thousands of roofs, large and small. Call now, get a free estimate, 20% off your new roof, and a free gutter system. Call me, Barry Flax, at 443-NEW-ROOF. For immediate response, call 443-NEW-ROOF. Badger Contracting. Our job is your satisfaction.
It only makes good dollars and cents to get more years and miles from your vehicle with a quality remanufactured engine from Jasper Engines and Transmissions. Jasper Engines are assembled by skilled ASE technicians who care about their work, live run tested, then backed by a 3-year, 100,000-mile nationwide parts and labor warranty. Call Jim Barbie Automotive in White Marsh and drive away with the security and peace of mind that only Jasper and Jim Barbie Automotive can provide.
Some people just know you could save money on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Those people are probably saving a carload of cash right now. So what are you waiting for? Check Allstate first for a quote today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Give your liver the support it needs with Active Liver. Go to newnordicusa.com, amazon.com, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New you, new Nordic.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
The GOP-controlled House and Senate have sent fewer bills to a Republican president than any other Congress in 70 years. Ooh. All the executive orders that President Trump has signed need to be codified
into law.
Because they'll get wiped out. And all this hard work that we've done over the last 4 years will mean nothing.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9, with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we had Andy Ellis on the show. He's in a gubernatorial race here in the state of Maryland, and he's with the Green Party. And I learned a lot during that interview, by the way. I am not someone that has researched the Green Party in the past, so I was not aware that they do support homeschool but not school choice. I was not aware of that, but I don't want to give my feedback on the interview before I hear your feedback on the interview, so I'm going to jump into the phone lines. I've got Barbara in Baltimore. Barbara, what did you think of Andy?
Hey, it was good to listen to him. Thanks for taking my call, Kim. And I second everything that Mark said. And then to that, I will add this. Did I hear him say that reparations should be given to people who have been enslaved? Is he talking about the marketing, the drug traffic people now? Or is he talking about slavery from the 1800s?
So I assumed he meant the slavery of the 1800s. But now that you bring that up, Barbara,
that's
you know,
I don't. Okay, yeah. Well, that one thing is a non-starter. And school choice, you know, ideologues, you know, having a good vision about something, it'd take at least 20 years if people don't have school choice and get their kids out of these terrible schools now, it'll take another generation. There'll be a lost generation of kids. Parents need to be able to have school choice and make decisions about their children, period, hands down. And all money is public money. If it's tax,
right.
People who go to private school pay taxes too. So why would you exclude them? You know, I always like looking for somebody to come up with something. But green is not it. Isn't, and also, does that mean what? We're all going to go electric? Are they going to come get my stove, my gas? What's up with that? Isn't that go green? Getting rid of gas?
I would assume so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm not missing anything. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate you, as I always do. The Go Green, you know what? I could go over here to his website and see if he meant, because I assumed that he was talking about those that were enslaved in the 1800s. But I'm going to go to his website. And while I look for that, I'm going to have, Wayne in Bowley's Corners. Wayne, you want to weigh in on Andy Ellis?
Hi, Kim. Good to talk to you. I still got your sign on my front lawn, believe
it. Oh, well, thank you. Don't move it. Keep it up there.
I was listening to him, and he seemed like a nice man. But I agree with Barbara. I generally agree with Barbara every time she calls in. I understand her. She's great. But when he said to me, he said to everybody, I don't want to see public money going to private schools. Well, everybody pays taxes, but some people, like you and I, obviously, decided to send our children to private schools.
Right.
So that means we kept paying public schools also, and right. Nobody gave us anything to pay the tuition, but we still had to pay that.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not for school choice, it's obvious. And then the second thing was, real quick, basically what Barbara said also, reparations. If you can show me one person that's still alive that was enslaved, they absolutely deserve reparations. But show me a person now that can't do anything that everybody else in this world can't do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked about that too. Yeah. Life is about choices, especially here in 2025.
And then we're going to do reparations, and we're, $3 billion in the hole?
Yeah. No, it's impossible. It would be silly to even entertain it. Wayne, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you.
Good talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I did look it up here because that was a good question, Barbara, on exactly who he meant by reparations, or who he believed should be able to be paid reparations. And on his website here, it says, on May 16, 2025, Governor Wes Moore vetoed Senate Bill 587. Obviously, that's the reparations bill. And he goes into how it was sponsored and backed by the Legislative Black Caucus. He said the bill would have established a statewide reparations commission to study and make recommendations relating to appropriate benefits to be made to individuals whose ancestors were enslaved in the state or were impacted by certain inequitable government policies. So that's interesting because there is an or here. Barbara, as you mentioned, there is an or. So study to make recommendations relating to appropriate benefits to be made to individuals whose ancestors were enslaved in the state or were impacted by certain inequitable government policies. So, Barbara, that was a damn good question you asked. Technically, if you're looking at this or the way that I would look at it, then yeah, it also includes whoever believes they were impacted by certain inequitable government policies. That could be even illegal immigrants. That could be anyone. So great ear there, because I didn't even hear him say that, but there it is on his website. Again, if you want to go to his website, it's gogreen2026.com. And then you can check out exactly where he stands on the issues there. I'll go to the text message in just a second. First, we'll take Dick in Pasadena. Dick, you wanted to weigh in on Andy Ellis?
Yeah, I do. But before I get into my point, I'll also point out that on reparations, he specifically said something about classes of people that were wrongfully incarcerated. So that's another nuance there.
Oh, yeah, right. So, yes, you're absolutely right about that. Yep.
So the thing that kind of caused my spidey senses to kick was the taxing of the rich, he didn't only talk about increasing income taxes, but he also spoke of taxing their wealth, which gets after personal property, retirement funds, and other things that just makes me think that they shouldn't be called the Green Party. They should be the Red Party, because it sounds like, you know, focused redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, and I did ask, you know, what is considered a fair share. He did not know which, you know, what the percentage would be. But, you know, for me, I think, like, I don't know why they come up with that part of it anyways, because if you do this and you try to tax the wealthy even more, I mean, those are the people that can actually move out of the state. So what happens when you lose your tax base?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that just doesn't make sense.
But he specifically separated out the wealth in addition to income. That's scary.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Dick, so much. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. I got, again, still on his website, gogreen2026.com. He does have a petition on there, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that Marylanders hear all of the candidates that are running for governor. And it says, sign the petition for debate access for independents and third-party candidates. So if you want to sign that petition, you can. Here's the thing that I noticed during that interview. I believe, because, and I'll go back and say this, I think Governor Westmore is more of an actor. And you might not agree with me, but I believe that he's handed scripts and he regurgitates what he reads. If you go back to Governor Westmore when he was in college, he was a college Republican. He did work with the Bush Foundation. He was a White House fellow for Condoleezza Rice. So there was a large part of Governor Westmore, I believe. And remember, his favorite person, you know, to ever live was Frederick Douglass. I think that there's a Republican somewhere in there, but he has pretty much kicked it to the curb. Because as a progressive, quote unquote, he could get a lot further, right? He could be the next Obama if he continues on this the same track that he has now. But I don't think he can explain a lot of the issues and why he stands where he stands on those issues. Does that make sense? Brian, the producer, do I sound crazy? I sound crazy. No, I don't think he can really explain a lot of what he backs. And when I notice his social media accounts, the videos that he does, you know, you can tell he's also reading a teleprompter. You know, they have those teleprompter apps nowadays, all this other stuff. So somebody writes it for him and then he just regurgitates it. I think if he were to have to be in a position to debate Andy Ellis, the guest that we have, I think that he could possibly give Wes Moore a run for his money. I mean, think about it. He supports very progressive policies. I'm talking about Andy Ellis. And Governor Westmore, you know, in my view, he pretends to support these very progressive policies. But I don't think he can explain it. I think Andy Ellis could. So I am inclined to sign this petition. I am, because I look at the situation. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If, in fact, you're able to get this guy to debate... Of course, we'll have hopefully our Republican candidate, you know, in the general, what have you. But if you can get this governor now, Westmore, to the debate, and say you just had him duke it out with Andy Ellis, I would think that even the Republican candidate on stage wouldn't have to do a whole lot. They would both be attacking Governor Westmore and his philosophy on some of these issues, and I don't think Moore can back up the philosophy. I know, I probably am not making any sense, but to those that believe I make sense, thank you. I'm trying to explain it. I got JC in Middle River. JC, what did you think about Andy Ellis?
Oh, well, I wish him luck getting elected governor with the mantra, I'm going to tax wealth. Well, you know, come on, man. At least he was honest about it, and he actually said it. I mean, we all know that's what the left really wants to do anyway. He just came right out and said it. And said it, and said, Barbara for governor. Let's get Barbara up.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no, that would be a good choice, too.
And I agree with you about Governor Moore. He's like a popularity contest, and he's real, you know, looks great, he sounds great, and everything's great. And he's going, he's telling us what we need to make sure that we need to keep doing, you know. And it's like, come on, man, the truth isn't that complicated, you know. We see what's going on. Stop spending money.
Yeah.
Give yourself a pay cut. How about that? Why, you know, we need to fix problems. We need more money to fix problems. Well, who caused the problems? Did I cause the problems? How come I have to pay more to fix somebody else's problems? You know?
Yeah.
This is just, I'm just one of them old rednecks. I'm just working every day. What do I know? Hell, you don't need to hear from me. I don't know nothing. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting a little sick of all of this, as I'm sure a lot of people are. And I'm also optimistic about the next few years. So let's just keep talking to people like you did, Kim. You had the guy on. God bless you. He had the courage to come on. God bless him. Let's just keep talking. Let's just keep talking and working it out, right?
Right. Well, JC, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
All right, Kim.
Thank you. And, you know, great point there. We are. Our tax dollars are going towards the problems and the issues that were created by the Democrat Party here in the state of Maryland. Now, they can blame President Trump, but we all know that's not the case. But it is unfair. It truly is unfair. And I do think that Governor Moore is just parroting these talking points. I think Andy Ellis actually believes what he says. And I think he's passionate about it. And I think he has the background. Remember, his background's in debating. I would love to see him get on stage with Wes Moore. I think he would annihilate him. I really do. Interesting, indeed. Let me go to the text line here. Let's see. I've got a text here from Donald. Donald says, this guy is nuts. All his points are just more liberal nonsense. School choice and taxation based on consumption are what most citizens want, not taxes on income and teachers' unions. Let's see. And then Marty asks, can he define wealthy? Looks like, Marty, you sent that over when I was on the phone with him, so I apologize. We did not get another text here. We did not get to transportation, roads, rails, buses, and all of those things. But I would assume, as Barbara pointed out, because they are, you know, he's with the Green Party, I would assume that he would take this position on everything going electric. But I, you know what, I'll take a look at his website and I'll try to find out whether or not that's where he stands on that issue. Again, shout out to Andy Ellis for even coming on the show. Truly. Like I said, I sent him a message and he said, hey, yeah, sure. When? And that does speak to somebody's character. You got to give it to them. You got to give it to them. And as JC pointed out, he didn't lie. He was upfront about it. You know, Governor Wes Moore, he wants to tax the wealthy. He wants to tax the rich. And I think when he started talking about, what did he say? He was like, oh, we're going to cut back on the broad taxes. Remember, he kept using the word broad. And I kept thinking to myself, like, what does he mean with this whole broad thing? And then he ended up kicking it to the curb. But I think he was hoping that nobody would pay attention. And I don't think he was expecting McCormick Spice to show up at the State House either. I think he believed that he could tax some of the wealthy and also tax some of these big businesses and corporations. And I think he got caught and he had to kind of, you know, backtrack a bit. But I do believe he thinks the same thing. I think he has the same philosophy, right? I think he believes that there are wealthy people and they should pay, quote unquote, their fair share. And, you know, I look at this situation. And I actually posted a meme yesterday about it. And it's, you know, of course, you get called greedy when you want to hold on to your money that you've earned and that you worked hard for. Yet at the same time, you know, then you're a good person if you're helping out those that can't help themselves. And so this is where I come on this. I am one of those people, and I would not just say, okay, let's just get rid of government-assisted programs. I would never say that. I think that there are people with disabilities that are on government-assisted programs, and I would understand that they were on it, you know, as lifers. Got it. But when it comes to the fact that government-assisted programs are not actually temporary, I have a huge problem with that. Because obviously there's no incentive for anybody to get their act together. And when you don't get your act together, we see more of what we see in the streets today. I mean, just think about all these people coming out of high school right now that can't read, can't write, do basic math, any of those things. Where are they going to end up? For a while, they'll probably end up on the streets, right? They'll be selling drugs or selling themselves or get killed or, you know, stealing from you. And you know, it's just this cycle, this door, it's a revolving door. And it's like, okay, well, if we're not going to educate these people, and you're telling me at the same time that you're going to continue to tax me, a hardworking person, a law-abiding citizen, somebody that, you know, at least attempted to get her act together, you know, you're going to tell me that I have to continue to pay for these people that won't even take the necessary steps? And on top of that, you don't even care to fix the education system so we don't have this cycle continue every single year? So you're just going to keep taxing me? The whole thing with the student loan debt forgiveness thing. Are you kidding me? There are a lot of people that dropped out of college because they knew that they couldn't afford it. So even though those people that dropped out and made this tough life choice, they did it anyways and said, you know what? I know I can't afford it. I can't pay it back. And I'm just going to have to do something else. You're telling me we're going to penalize that person? We're going to have them, the one that made the right decision, we're going to have them pay for somebody that decided they wanted to go get some liberal arts degree that they can't even use? And I'm not, you know, to those with the liberal arts degree, you know, shout out to you. I'm not saying it's a throwaway degree, but there's a, you know, there are some degrees out there that people can't really use. Let's be honest. So you want me to pay for that person's degree. You want the auto mechanic to pay for their degree. You want the guy that went into the military that got his college paid for through the military. You want him to pay for that person's degree. No. And this is why, and I know many of you didn't agree with me, but this whole thing of incentivizing self-deportations. I know some people say it'll get people out of here faster. I got that. But I don't want to pay to have somebody go back after they came here illegally. That's on you, my friend. We'll discuss when we get back.
Nothing can be more frustrating than working hard your entire life, saving as much as possible, then watching your money go down right before retirement. Mike Kinnett, Ryan Herbert, and the team at ProStatus Financial can help. They're going to sit down with you personally to create a complete retirement plan, which includes the 401k X-ray, income analyzer, tax planning analysis, and estate plan review. This is up to a $2,500 value, and it's complimentary for the next five callers who have at least $500,000 saved for retirement. Congratulations, you've done a great job of saving. Now call 866-597-1040 and let the team at ProStatus Financial help you protect, grow, and distribute your wealth in the most tax-efficient manner possible. Call ProStatus Financial today at 866-597-1040. 597-1040. That's 866-597-1040. Advisory services offered through ProStatus Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, insurance license in Maryland.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Attention small business owners. Imagine cutting your overhead and putting more cash in your pocket. Whether you're a restaurant owner, hairdresser, doctor, lawyer, run a spa, HVAC company, or an electrician, your small business has untapped value. Bank the value of your expertise and spend it on what your personal or business needs. Why pay cash for products and services when you can trade your downtime and excess inventory? Barter Saves works with and helps thousands of local business owners in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and surrounding areas. Visit bartersaves.com today or call 800-9-BARTER and turn what you already have into everything you need.
The Rob Carson Show.
That's the fact, Jack!
Hey guys, Wednesday on the show, Marco Rubio shreds Chris Van Hollen like carnitas.
That's my boy!
Houses are out of range for most middle-class Americans, but that's about to change. And Jake Tapper goes on the Megyn Kelly Show. Big mistake.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Noon to 3 on WCBN.
The Rob Carson Show. Weekdays noon to 3 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Again, thank you, Andy Ellis, for coming on the show. I do appreciate it. You guys go check him out, gogreen2026.com. Yesterday, we were talking about Jeffrey Epstein because, according to Dan Bongino and Cash Patel, they're saying that he killed himself. I just wanted to give you the final tally here at WCBL.com. The poll brought to you by Renovation Real Estate. 85% of you do not believe that he killed himself. 15% of you believe that Jeffrey Epstein did, in fact, kill himself. Well, it's interesting. Are we going to find out more? I don't know, but I'm keeping my eye on it. I did want to tell you, IG Isabel Cumming, who we've had on the show, she's the Inspector General in Baltimore City. She's actually calling out the interim county executive, Kathy Clausmeyer. Now, I mentioned before that Kathy Clausmeyer is refusing to talk to the media, and that is a fact. Well, everybody else is now calling it out, too. And all I want to say is, Kathy Clausmeyer, if you could please talk to people that are paying your salary, that would be nice. A lot of people still want to know why you decided to give the boot to Kelly Madigan, who is the Inspector General in Baltimore County, and making her reapply for her position. Well, with that, the Baltimore Brew has a story out. You might want to check it out. Kathy Clausmeyer is actually one of those officials that was on this $30,000 trip to Vegas. $30,000. Taxpayer dollars, that is. So I'm not expecting Kathy Clausmeyer to answer to that. But when it comes to the Inspector General, when it comes to some of the juvenile crime and all these things on a daily basis, County Executive Clausmeyer, it would be nice for you to step up to the podium. Okay? We pay your salary, for crying out loud. That's what I hate the most. Those that don't say anything, we literally, quite literally, pay your salary. The least you can do is talk. We're not asking you to do anything else. Just talk. Well, anyways, I called this, and I wanted to just say to you really quickly, didn't I say that the Preakness was going to have a low turnout? Brian, the producer, didn't I call that? Well, guess what? Chris Papps has the numbers. 63,000 people reportedly attended the Preakness this year. Compare that to 2019 when 182,000 people attended. This is a stunning 65% drop in attendance. That's right. Only 63,000 people attended the Preakness this year. I knew it. We called it. We talked about it. There was no energy, no excitement. Sovereignty wasn't even trying to go for the Triple Crown. Screw you too, Sovereignty. But Mayor Brandon Scott, the way he reimagined Preakness, I mean, think about it. He reimagined it, all right. And I feel bad for all the vendors and all those that put a lot of money into that Preakness every single year, because I'm sure you're losing money. I know for a fact you're losing money. Maybe next year he'll have some acts that people really want to see. I'm not saying T-Pain and Wyclef Jean are not good acts, but come on. Get with the program, Mayor Scott. One day the Preakness is going to leave Baltimore. And then what's going to happen? You won't even get any of that revenue. All right, Brian, the producer, as always, thank you for a great show. I appreciate all you tuning in. I know that you have options. And I hope to talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m.
When it comes to preparing for a crisis,